The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Three tall men.
BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime. And yes, we are back Wednesday. It is match day minus two, as they call it in FIFA terms. That means 2 days before the kickoff. Well, Canada's kickoff anyway, to the World Cup. The actual World Cup itself kicks off on Thursday. But here we are back once again. We have Amy Walsh. We have Jimmy Brennan. We have Dan Wong. We have Jeff Cole and myself, James Sharman, to get you set for the tournament. Hello, everyone. Are we getting excited?
So excited. Really, let's be honest. There is a buzz in the city. There's concerts going on. There's events going on. There was a thunderstorm last night that just added to it. People were walking around. Sirens. Breaking and entering. It is the one heck of a city buzz right now. It actually is. Yeah. It seems exciting right now. It's real.
You think there's more thefts during the World Cup?
Yeah, because there's big crowds. So a lot of those thefts where it's like pickpocketing of a iPhone 17, little things like that. So everyone, make sure you hang on to your phone. Yeah, they said thefts were up for this festival on Dundas Street. And they also had to close it early because of the overcrowding. So that was last week. So I would assume a lot of that's going to be happening for the World Cup during all these crowds. So people, be aware. Get one of those locks. Get a fanny pack. Put it in the front end.
Ooh. Well, that's good, though. Well, that's good, though, right? I hadn't thought about that.
Yes, missionary.
We talk about the... And by the way, when you're around any European fans, don't call it a fanny pack, just saying. But I hadn't thought about that. All the benefits of the World Cup, you know, we hear about the negatives, but the benefits, the money coming. I haven't thought about how the pickpockets will benefit. Good for them.
Good for them.
Another burgeoning industry.
Yeah. That's right. We have the black market counterfeit kits. Right. And then we have, you know, an increase in pickpocketing. So there we go. It's ready to go.
If you're thinking about entering that industry, then this might be a good month.
That's right.
To try it out.
Got to seize the moment. We might see smash and grab events and results on the pitch as well.
Well, you got the moment you gotta
pick
phones.
Your moment.
You got to pick your moment.
No, right in the pocket.
Really
there.
Do. yes. Hey, by the way, Jimmy. So Jimmy sent us a video late last night. Him and he's got a couple of brothers, and they're brilliant. They're much better than Jimmy, actually. Stupid things. And last night it was Mike, wasn't it?
It was Michael.
Okay, explain the video to our audience here.
Okay, so we're sitting at the table, right? We had a nice dinner, we're just having a chat, watching the Vegas Knights play. And my son, Mickey, my youngest, he's actually really fast, right? He's a big kid, fast. And my brother, Michael, for some reason, thought he was faster. Now, my brother, Michael's not fast, but he's like, I could beat you anytime, anywhere, I'll beat your race. So I was like, okay, Michael. You know, if you want to do it, let's go old school, lamppost to lamppost, right? Let's have a race here. He's like, I'm all for it. Let's do this. I'm down. So my son, Mickey, starts laughing. He goes, okay, let's go. So we get outside. Okay. Now I was like, Mike, why don't you put some shoes on? He's like, I don't need shoes. I'm fast. And I was like, okay.
It's odd.
They line up. Okay. My mother is at the other lamppost, arms out. Okay, because whoever first one to touch, as you know, right, is the winner. Well, my brother starts off on fire. He's probably got maybe a 2-yard lead. And he's just
here we go,
driving
Look,
we forward.
We got a battle tonight.
But the problem was, he's a little top
trying to figure out who's the fastest right now.
And
Mama's put your arms out there. She
6
is.
Yards
She's
before
like
the finish
Jesus
line.
On the cross.
He ends up tumbling over.
Okay,
and
now
used his face and his knuckles to stop.
for racing.
The best was when he got up and his face was all mangled. He goes, I won that race, but he didn't realize he fell 3 yards before.
Are you ready? Don't touch. There's no touching.
That's my favorite part. There's no touching.
Let's go.
The entire video is Jimmy's laughter at the end of it. It was brilliant.
Ready? One.
So, professional footballer, Jimmy, could you beat your son in a race, do you think?
Well, I don't know. He's quite quick.
Look at this run. Look at that.
Yeah. It's going.
No, Mike.
Dubs, what about you? Your kids. Could you beat your kids in a race, Dubs, as a former professional footballer?
Oh, my God. Poor Mikey. Mike,
we're rolling the video for those that don't know. We're listening to this, obviously. But, he's really gashed his face up pretty good.
The only moment of empathy, Jimmy, is where you're like, no, Mike, no. Realizing what's about to happen.
Do you know what it is? Do you know when you can see somebody doing the stumble and you know they're going down and you're like, oh no, they're going. They've lost it. And they're trying to hold on. They're grasping like at the air, trying to get their balance back. And it was just, that was it. I asked him, I said, why'd you use your face to stop? Most people use their hands.
Can I ask, was there alcohol involved in this race?
No, there was like one or two beers.
Oh, okay. Like, so there was no liquid courage for Mike to challenge his nephew?
No, he was just up for it. Just thought, there's no way I'm going to let my nephew beat me in a race.
Okay, because I was watching friend of the show, Kaylin Kyle, was playing street ball, some street footy. And I was wondering...
Steve Nash Foundation.
Was it the Steve Nash Foundation? Yeah. So I was watching a little bit of the highlights, and she looked good out there. But I was wondering for Dubs and Jimmy... Because Jimmy was just played in that Italian match, right? Last Friday, there was a Brazilian match, then an Italian match. When you two play in these exhibition kind of 5-on-5, 7-on-7, are you this close to being Mikey? Are you this close to hurting yourself every single time? Dubs, because I know you played with CF Montreal in a couple pickups.
Yeah, we would. We'd have regular 7v7 games with alumni, ex-players, and employees of the club. And it was brilliant. I loved it because he could go out, he could kick the ball around, just have a good time, work as hard as he wanted, or just walk around and like kick the ball occasionally, jump on when he felt like it, jump off when you did, and not have to worry about getting injured. That's why I never played kind of post-retirement, because I played a couple times in like a semi-professional league. And got my legs cleaned out a couple times. I'm like, I don't want to get a more serious injury post-career than I had during my career. But I think Jimmy was hired by TFC in his advisor consultant capacity and like pathway, academy stuff, purely so he could play in a Legends game once a week. I really do think that was how they were angling for him.
Fair enough.
But I want to loop back, because like when I play in those, what I feel like is missing... Like after a couple of reps, like you can feel the touch coming back, you stroke the ball, you can spray it a little bit, and you don't have to work as hard because you can see the pitch, and like a lot of people that you're playing with don't really have experience playing, but the pop and like the explosiveness, whether it's over one or two steps or that acceleration, I don't have that anymore. It's part of maybe what I train on a daily basis. Like I like to keep physically fit. So I do train and I work out and I lift kettlebells and I go for walks and I do a whole bunch of stuff to do the aerobic stuff, but also the strength stuff. Cause as a woman who's almost 50, you're supposed to eat a shit ton of protein and also lift very, very heavy weights. Apparently this is what you're meant to do. But yeah, the acceleration piece. So Sharms, you're asking me about my kids. I would not be able to beat Jack, who is 16 years old and a very good athlete. And the twins, Evie and Campbell at 12, they would likely also leave me in their dust. So it's that acceleration bit that I don't have anymore. I think a lot of people, whether they're top heavy or not, Jimmy, per Mikey, I think you are thinking that you can do it much better than, like, in theory, it's much better than it is in practice.
Yeah, that's true. I just laugh because he was just so confident that he could win. I've never seen anybody like that before. Well, but anyways, going back to your question, Wong, and like Dubs is saying, you know, it's, I never wanted to play again, right? I was like, I'm done. I have no interest in playing. I'll kick the ball in the backyard with the kids, but that was it. But after that Brazil game, when I said I was only going to play 15 minutes and I ended up playing 50. Now I paid for that for 3 days. Like three
Some
days.
Some say you're still paying for it.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I realized, I was like, okay, now I remember why I love the game, because, you know, just being out there knocking the ball, and it's, the standard is good because you're playing with pros again, right? So your movements, your touch, the way they move, the way they touch, it's like you enjoy it so much more being out there with those guys that you used to play with. Touch. Yeah.
So, Jimmy, all it took, though, for you was Ronaldinho and Baggio to get you motivated again.
Yeah. Then I was like, okay, I'm back at a good level here.
Yeah.
But I told you that time when I was playing men's league game and the guy man marked me the whole time and I just went and sat on the bench and opened up a beer with him. Didn't I tell you that?
No.
Like, you just threw in the towel. No. You're like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. So this was years ago. A couple of buddies were like, Jimmy, come play this men's league on a Sunday. Right. I was like, guys, I don't want to play. And they were like, just come play. And I was like, okay. So I get out into the field and I'm just having my little strut. I'm jogging, walking, pointing, doing my thing that I always do to keep me involved in a game, right? Because I have to talk when I play. Otherwise,
of course you do.
I'm not involved in the game. Like, I was one of those guys that constantly just talking and pointing and yelling.
Feels performative, but okay.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm on the field and this guy is man marking me. So I'm having a little jog. The play's going up. I'm trying to catch up a little bit with the play. And then I turn my left. This guy's just coming with me everywhere. I said, buddy, so what are you doing? He goes, well, you're my guy. I got to mark you. I said, you don't have to mark me, please. I said, I'm here. I'm going to do some strides and I just want to sweat. That's all I want. It's Sunday morning. Anyways, the guy kept on man marking me. I touched the ball. He's right up my ass. And I was like, okay, enough's enough. So I started jogging towards the bench and I said, come with me. Come with me. He goes, what do you mean? I said, just come with me. I said, you're going to man mark me? Man mark me here. So we sat down. There was a cooler beside the bench. I opened up the cooler. I grabbed two beers and he sat beside me. We had a beer.
That's amazing.
I said, I'm not enjoying that. So I'm going to enjoy this. So let's just hang out. He's like, okay, fair enough. Yeah. So I never played men's league again.
Well, Jimmy, I hope you do. But just so you know that when you play a men's league, you know, it isn't quite the same as playing the Brazil All-Stars or the Italian Legends. It's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite the same really rush different. And buzz. Sure.
Before we move on, I just would like to point out that Jimmy's voice for, oh, I'm a hockey guy, and Mikey's thinking he can beat Nick, and then also the guy man-marking him, all the same voice.
Same voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same confidence. Same unknown audacious confidence. Where you're
like, so fast.
What? You played high school soccer. What are you doing out here?
Someone told me once, just easy advice. People our age is just never try and beat youth. You just won't. It won't work out. You know, I raced my daughter once and tore my hamstring and was on the ground screaming. So that's the last time I tried that. So don't do it.
That's not the last time. We were in Calgary when you beat Dubs.
When I beat Dubs, that's right.
22-meter crossing the sidewalk.
You can beat Dubs. You can beat youth.
I didn't realize how fast Sharms was.
I know. I'm elusive pace, Jimmy. It's elusive pace.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we got to get some World Cup chat here.
We do.
Talk about injuries. And obviously Canada, lots of injuries, lots of concerns. We had one big question finally answered yesterday, and that was, who's going to replace Marcelo Flores in the 11, in the 26? And I think we're all delighted to hear who we thought it would be. That's Jaden Nelson. Jaden Nelson is a friend of the show. He was on Footy Prime a couple of years ago now.
No, 9 months ago only.
It was only nine months ago.
Yeah, right before he left. It was the end of the Vancouver season, heading into his move over to Austin.
Yeah.
So he was still with Vancouver at the time, but he shared with us some great, like he had a rough time, and it was a really good interview.
His backstory is, as a toddler, a young kid, he had a very rare form of cancer and was told by doctors growing up that he wouldn't play professional soccer. Not going to happen. But then he ended up at TFC and then moved from TFC to Europe, where it didn't really work out for him and where he began to really question whether he should be playing football at all. Yeah. And then he got that move to Vancouver and under Jesper Sorensen, it just, everything changed. He found himself, his confidence, his game, and was a standout last season. moved to Austin for playing time, got back on the radar for Canada. And here we are now, a member of the World Cup squad. It's brilliant, Dubs, because such a great guy who's been through it. He's kind of come up through the hard way, so to speak. But it's fully deserving, albeit as an injury sub, but that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter at all. And I think that for this Canadian team, I'll come back to Jaden specifically in a second. We're talking about the hype and the buzz leading into this World Cup. And you also spoke a couple of shows ago how it can be a bit of a boring, almost predictable time for teams as you go really kind of into yourselves, insular, you're working on the micro, all of the details that are going to lend you success or you hope when you kick off the World Cup. And it becomes a little bit too routine. And so having this unpredictability could work against Canada because there are so many question marks or so many unknowns about how they're going to be able to play. Are they going to be at full strength with a lot of these players that are supposed to be game breakers for them injured or at 70% or 60%? But you have players like Prizo and Nelson and Bessong who inject a little bit of desperation in a good way to the squad because they've got nothing to lose. They're in this squad, they're training, they're going to help to push the standard of this rigorous environment that Jesse Marsh is trying to cultivate so that they can play this high tempo style that is really part of their DNA. So for a guy like Nelson, it's not only a wonderful redemption story and a story about resilience, but he's exactly the type of player and profile that this team needs. And I think you can hear all of the guys in the sound bites after it was officially announced, just thrilled for the guy. So I think that is the foundation of this group, is that they're all tremendous humans. And then they're footballers on top of that. But his brand of football, what we saw against Uzbekistan, the way he had that unbridled joy in that left channel, it just elevated the play of everybody around him. And that final ball, the effort, whether it was in the back press or off the ball, that was missing in a lot of his previous appearances with Canada, you just saw come to life. And I was thrilled for the guy. And I think you can see everybody around him is equally as thrilled for the player and also the person.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you know what the thing is for me, right? What we do and on the podcast and talking about players and sometimes it sucks because you want everybody to make a World Cup and we got to critique a little bit and you're like, oh, maybe this guy or maybe that guy. And you know, Jaden Nelson is such a nice guy, fantastic footballer, you know, and then you're kind of going, is it Prizo? Is it Nelson? Like, which one do you think? And it's not as, you know, having to go at somebody, but sometimes you're looking at it and thinking, okay, you know, in the big picture, defensively, we're struggling with a lot of injuries. Maybe that guy's the guy, or, you know, is Nelson the guy? But I'm delighted that he's there. And I hope people, when they listen to it, and especially the players, you know, it's us just trying to put our thoughts out there of what might be better and what player maybe should be there just because of the circumstance of the team and where they're at. But Jaden Nelson definitely deserves to be there. He deserves to be there. He's got such qualities. He's an exciting, fun player to watch. And when he gets going, he starts driving at defenders. You're off your seat because you know a little bit of magic's going to happen. So I'm delighted for him, and I hope he has a great World Cup.
And listen, he's not Marcelo Flores, but he's the closest Canada probably has as a replacement, a player that can take defenders on one-on-one, likes to, you know, slip into those pockets. So yeah, good for him. It's brilliant. And Dubs, you mentioned there, you know, hearing from Promise David, Liam Miller, Ishmael Kone post-match, you always forget that these guys know each other so well, not just from the national team set up in the seniors, but going back to the age groups. Some of these, I think it was Promise that he knew this guy at 12, 13 years of age. Mm-hmm. You know, they go way back. They're such a tight, tight group. And we talk about this brotherhood and how close this squad is. But I think part of that is because so many of them have come up through the system together. They're not being pulled from different parts of the world. They're like, no, these guys were there when they were 15 years old, you know, or U17s or whatever it is. And that's a big thing. I think it adds to the chemistry that I think we're seeing with this team. Wonga, you're saying?
I was just thinking, you know, we're playing Bosnia-Herzegovina. Here's Segovia.
Two more days, you worry about it.
Bless you.
No, but Jimmy sent us. No, who was it? Was it Jimmy who sent us the breakdown of how to say someone's name?
Dubs.
No, it was Nate. Was me, and it was from
Dubs from
show,
Nate.
Nate Ingham.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm sorry I blew that, Nate, and your friend who's now gonna go on the comments and say he doesn't know how to say it. You're right. I'll learn it.
But per our discussion yesterday, you can say it both ways. You can say Bosnia Herzegovina, or you can say Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Governor.
And we spoke to
Dick. It's a governor.
He uses the latter, but both ways are correct, just not the way you said it.
Okay, but not correct at all. I'm used to that.
If Jesse Marsh slipped on the side of the pitch and pulled a hamstring, it'd be, that's a governor.
Yeah, it's a governor.
Don't do that again, it hurts the governor.
Okay, Friday we're playing Herzegovina, Bosnia Herzegovina. They are, I think, the tallest team in the World Cup.
In the world,
New York Knicks,
in the FIFA, they are the biggest team, the tallest team. But it's I guess what I'm saying is, Jaden Nelson is the kind of the epitome of what Canada can bring and has to lean into to be successful. Is that correct? We have to be a faster team. We have to be aggressive, and we have to be both aggressive and offensive and defensive with speed, because we're not a tall team like Bosnia Herzegovina. There we go.
We're not a short team, though. We've got some height there.
Yeah, but we're not 6'2.5" as a average, right?
No, we're not. See, Bosnia is really physical. Aside from the height, they're very physical and direct. They love sticking that ball into the mixer, as they say. So Canada know what to expect there. and Canada does rely on its pace and its transition. But there's a good chance Canada will have lots of possession, right, Jimmy, in this match, which they're not always that comfortable with.
Yes, they will have quite a bit of possession. That's for sure. I think Bosnia realizes as well they're away from home. Canada's at home in the World Cup, and they're going to be quite defensive. They're probably getting their low block, and then we've got to break them down. We saw little glimpses in the Ireland game where Ireland kind of went into that little block and we're trying to break them down. But, you know, that's going to be difficult for us. I thought that we looked okay keeping the ball with possession that we tend to not normally have. But it's just that movement in the final third, that tempo, the speed of play has got to be a lot quicker in order to break down Bosnia, because they're going to be very, very disciplined. Mm-hmm. Knowing the situation, being away, first game of the World Cup, and they're going to look to get us on the counter. That's for sure. But we cannot be exposed at the back. We have to make sure that we're organized, very, very organized defensively. And that's only because once you have possession, you get into a little rhythm and you tend to fan out, right? So everybody just moves and they spread. And sometimes when you have possession, you get a little bit too confident, don't you? And you don't sense the danger. And then that's when you're vulnerable. And we can't be vulnerable when we fan out. We have to sense the danger and always realize that if we do lose this ball here, we got to make sure we got numbers back.
And I'd add to that, the combination that I think we'll likely see versus Bosnia. See what I did wrong, or I just shortened it there? You have two center backs in Luke Fougerolle and Derek Cornelius, where I think Cornelius is shaking off a lot of that rust after not playing at Rangers, being cast aside. He's not ultimately where we would want him to be, but I think he's where Jesse Marsh needs him to be. And then Luke de Fougerolle, we talked about the fact that he looks more robust, he looks stronger, he looks thicker, he looks more like a man than a boy at 20 years old. And he looked great on the ball, but what I was most impressed with that tandem was their aerial dominance. I thought that they covered one another quite well, and they were strong in challenges. Now, does that mean they're going to win every ball versus Dzeko? Absolutely not. But I'm confident in that pairing, and I'm confident in Max Crépeau and his ability to command his box and to come out and claim crosses and also communicate with the players in his box, with the entirety of his back line, for them to take care of business when he stays on the line. So I like those center backs together. I like also the ability of Ali Johnston and his ability in the air. Richie maybe a little bit less, but he's combative. He's a competitor. We know what Richie can do. But it's Max behind them and the leadership that he'll provide in between the sticks.
These finishing sessions we've been watching at training the last couple of days, pretty intense. But it's been mainly Owen Goodman in goal for them. He's really good. He's really good.
He's big, huh?
He's a
big boy. Beast.
Yeah, he is. He is. And I think there's going to be a good battle, I think, for that shirt in the years to come. Because I think this guy is going to get another loan probably at least next year. Maybe, who knows, maybe he'll be number two at Palace. But he's very good, is my point. And quick and strong. And just when you're seeing a goalkeeper in those finishing drills, you know, you can probably learn a fair amount from them. And he gets his feet are very quick. So, yeah, it's interesting to watch that.
Sharms, I wanted to ask you, just before we jump to another subject, you've been basically with the Canadian men's national team at training. What are you seeing every single day? What's your vibe check like?
Yeah, you know, you don't see that much, right? Because outside of, was it Monday? Monday, when there was the open session, they had the kids there and you could all watch. It's the first time we've seen a full session, because generally speaking in soccer, you get the first 15 minutes, you watch them warm up, play a little one touch, and that's really about it. So you can't take too much. But they're looking healthier and healthier. There's very positive vibes. They're enjoying themselves out there. But there is an intensity to what we're seeing as well. Saw Moise Bembido yesterday, actually. Again, he's training separately. He's still in the return to play protocol, is what they call it. He's taking some long balls down the touchline, and his touch is really good. We know that, right? But for a big guy, a center half, his touch is fantastic.
Just for the people out there might be hearing us for the first time on SiriusXM, the
return to play
protocol. Is that one level before you're cleared to play?
Yeah. No, I think maybe it's return to training. Hasn't been cleared to train fully yet. So this week we saw Ali Ahmed and Jacob Schaffenberg both return to training, full training, for the first time. So Bombido is not there yet. He just returned to it, prior to the Uzbekistan game where he played half an hour and then hurt himself again. So I do wonder, though, with the announcement that they have Jaden Nelson as the fill-in for Flores, does that bode better for Moyes, I wonder? Because bear in mind that at the moment, Ralph Prieto is also not training. He's got a knock, right? So if neither one can go, I suppose it's going to be Zohan Bassong. He's not a centre-half, but he's a wide player. And then I suppose the cover centre-half, worst-case scenario, isn't Ali or a Richie. Because there's no one else being recalled, as far as we know. They're not going to suddenly give Kamal Miller a phone call, say, hey, Kamal, you know, they should have a pretty good idea by now. And now Jesse said that Ralph is 1 or 2 days away from a
turn. Yeah, I think he's got a short, little hamstring injury.
A little one, but yeah, but he just had a hamstring. Is it the same one, do you know?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I saw him at training, we got a quick chat, but...
Yeah. I know, but Bose, we're going to hopefully find out today. I know Jesse Morris says he's given Moyes to the last minute, which would be 3 p.m. on Thursday. I mean, if you don't know today, I don't know if you're going to learn much more by tomorrow, are you?
It's 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know.
24 hours.
You know.
You 100% know.
Yeah. Sleep does the world a good.
Who's the best liar, right? Who can? My hamstring feels great.
No, mine feels better. Let's have a race in the street. Maybe have Moyes and Ralph have a race in the street.
Street lap.
Stella out going to the World Cup. Stella Brennan holding out the flags.
Yeah. Moyes would beat Mikey on one leg.
Yeah. Yes.
And running backwards.
Hopping backwards.
Have you seen those videos that different like social media managers for clubs are doing where you film your players running backwards and then they reverse the video? It's quite funny. Yeah.
Really? We should do that.
It would not be good.
We should do it. And then like you can pick, have me and JC, like which one's actually running forward and actually who's reversing, because we probably couldn't tell the difference.
No, absolutely. Sorry,
JC.
Not.
JC might be a great runner. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's more mocking myself as the two non-athletes in the group here. Wongo was an athlete once upon a time, but that was a long freaking time ago. So
it was.
Yeah. Hey, JC, speaking of JC, I think we have some really big questions to get to. One, match day
three,
minus two.
One, two, three, four.
Ring, ring, what's that sound? Big question that needs answer. Ring.
What was the question again?
Thanks, Jimmy. You always make my morning when I see you enjoying that so much.
Lesson news.
Well, so, okay, well, listen, we're a day out from the tournament. You know, we're not doing your typical average, you know, previews, group by group previews. We'll get to them all over the coming days and weeks and months, because it feels like months. Kind of done with this World Cup, to be honest with you. Can we just get it over and done with?
Stop it.
But let's just quickly go through the favorites for this tournament. And like, who do you actually think is going to win this thing? It's a typical question, I know that, but I am curious that there's three that really stand out. Now, maybe four, actually. Mm-hmm. You got Spain, and you have France, and you have England. And I might slip Portugal in there as well. Mm-hmm. It's always dangerous to rule out a South American team, including the defending champions. It's dangerous to rule out the Germans, although they're not quite, you know, typical Germany right now, especially with our boy Leonard Karl injured, Jimmy, and out. That broke my heart. But out of the favorites, Jimmy, who do you think has the edge here? If you had to bet, who are you putting your money on?
France.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going with the French. They're a good team. They're so good. Their depth is ridiculous. I can't not see them winning this tournament. I just think they're too good in every position. They're a tournament team. They show up every single World Cup. And I think this is the squad that's going to take them to the promised land. And you're right. You can't get out the Germans. Spain's going to be very good. I think it's going to be a European winner this year. I don't think it's going to be South American. I think it's going to be European. And I think one team that you've got to watch out for, and we say it all the time, and then they always end up flopping, is England. But I think England's, I don't know, there's something about them this year where I think that if anything, this could be their chance to get to a final because of the squad that they have. But overall, I do think France is going to win it.
Dubs, here's my hope and dream outside of who's going to win it. But I hope that France have an implosion and they become that team.
That's the Dutch.
No, but it could be the French too, though, right? It's one of those two teams.
Yeah. They're either brilliant or they implode, as you said. It's just they go completely off the rails.
Mbappe, I mean, we know how great he is. And we also know how enormous the ego is. Right? He is a selfish player. He's also the player that can throw his team in his back and win a World Cup.
Yeah.
But there is that, right? I mean, I hope this, you look at this, the 11 for France, right? Elise has been just brilliant for
Bayern. Did you see Patrick the other day in the friendly preparatory match versus, I know, Northern Ireland? But he might be, I mean, other than Harry Kane, like the most in-form player right now.
Could be.
Then you throw Dembele to his right, who suddenly wins Champions Leagues at PSG ever since Mbappe leaves. Interesting. Doué is ridiculous on the left. Tchouaméni's done it before. Rabiot, not entirely sure he's like that same quality perhaps as Reyes, but he's done it before. Then you got the Salibas and the Upamecanos. We know the 11, how strong it is, but is there a chance, though, that the ego gets in the way? And in Didier Deschamps' last tournament before he quits, you're shaking your head, Wonga. You don't think so, eh?
I think at this level, you put up with an ego if he's going to pot you every single goal. You don't care. I'm just saying, look, I've played with people I don't like with in sports and podcasts. And you cheer for them on the podcast. You cheer for them. No, I love Jimmy. It's you, Dubs.
you insufferable.
Insufferable.
Just
Amy Walsh. She's insufferable.
Yes. Look, there's something that happens when you get on the pitch, when you get on the field, that there's a professionalism or a, you can step back and say, this is my role. His role is to be the ego and to be the star. And that's fine. And if I get a chance, I'll be the star. But you don't reach for it. You play within yourself. You don't try and do anything extra. And when I think of, you know, I don't punch me, Dubs, because I know you'll hate hearing this, but I watched a report about AI, and they put the teams in and said what teams will have a chance of winning. And they said only 6 teams have a chance at winning. And we've named them all. The one that, so England, Portugal, Spain, Brazil, Argentina, and
France.
Germany was not in there. So it was just interesting that those 6 teams that we mentioned, albeit we did mention Germany too, mm-hmm. these were the 6 teams that AI said have the only chance at winning. Now, I would love AI to be wrong. It was wrong in the Terminator because... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're betting. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. But there's a level where professionalism takes over and you watch your star be a star and you don't care because you're winning too. And that's, I mean, we've all played with people like that. So, you know, Mbappe, if he brings his ego and also lives up to it, I'm with Jimmy. I don't see France losing, but my outside bet would be England. If I had to go with kind of a darker horse out of those 6.
England is the dark horse. Interesting.
Out of those, okay.
I think France is less likely to implode because, you know, you think about the team that pushed Argentina in that final. They have this incredible depth of talent, but they have the experience now that they've gleaned from that, from making the final. And I think a good balance across that squad, when you look at the collection of brilliance that they have that Sharms just went through, I think that you've grounded or tethered Mbappe in a certain way that he still has the ego and the swagger to kind of go off where the players maybe have to tolerate it to a certain degree because you know what he's going to give you. But I think you have, you know, the rise of somebody like Olise that has provided like a counterpoint for Mbappe, maybe, you know, that maybe brings him down to earth in a good way so that team culture is healthier.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't think it's going to happen. I just hope it happens. Because having a team
fun.
Like France or the Dutch or whoever it's going to be provide the drama in a World Cup and those narratives, mm-hmm. It is great for daily podcast and radio shows trying to fill an hour of content every single day of the World Cup.
Of course.
Really handy. Yeah. We have some stories off the pitch we can talk about.
Yeah, Dubs mentioned the Dutch in our dark web. So if we have a WhatsApp group and we call it the dark web, just so everyone knows what we're referring to. And it was Uzbekistan and the Netherlands. Canada just played Uzbekistan and won 2-0. Netherlands won 2-1, but they scored in the final, I think it was extra 90 time.
90+8, 10.
Yeah, 90+8. So the level is there for Canada, but Netherlands is supposed to be a team that steps out and into the spotlight. And that shows what level they're at. Now, obviously, it's a friendly, but you can pull a few things out of this.
For sure. No, absolutely. But I mean, listen, friendlies are friendlies before the World Cup, but Uzbekistan are a tough team to beat them. A tough team to play against. Sorry, JC?
Well, I was just going to say, I put this in the dark web last week. I was with the Dutch national team at JFK last week. And we were chatting for quite some time collectively. And well, I was on the other side of the terminal, but I was talking to them. They didn't necessarily know I was. No. They didn't hear me. But I was still talking to them. And the sense that I got was, I didn't understand what they were saying because they were speaking in Dutch. But basically I couldn't hear them because they were also really far up. But what I was getting from them is that they're a team, right? They're there and they're ready.
See, JC, this is the type of insight that we can provide and others... Mm-hmm. Fail at.
That's right.
That's why we're number one.
Insight. Yep. Now, more importantly, how were the traveling tracksuits, or were they in suits, the luggage? How was luggage? Canada's luggage was fantastic, beautiful.
They didn't have luggage.
Oh.
So I think someone had their luggage.
Right.
But they did have their orange luggage. Stripes. If you go back and you can see the video, they did have some orange stripes, which was very cool.
Hmm. Some would say their luggage is called Cody Gakpo, but that's cruel.
Ooh.
That's not fair.
Well, no, I was going to say luggage is fine, Charms. Even if it's high end, it's the baggage that you don't want the team to have. That's
good. Watch out for, yeah. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Good one.
Don't mean it so much there, Jimmy.
Wow.
We haven't really mentioned Spain, Jimmy. Spain, to me, I mean, they're my favorites. I think, I mean, listen, you could flip a coin, right? France and Spain, really. I just look at players that are going to steal this World Cup, and presumably he gets back in time healthy-wise. But Lamine Yamal, as Ronaldo's and Messi's say farewell to the World Cup, maybe, Lamine Yamal is going to grab that torch, and he's going to be the face of soccer for the next little while, I think. Don't you agree with that?
I do, but there's a lot of good young players that are coming through now, Charms. You know, you mentioned Leonard Carl. He's an absolute superstar at 18 years old. But do I think he is going to be... I mean, look, the guys... Look how much he's won already for a young player playing at Barcelona. It's just... It's incredible. Like, I'm looking at these young guys now that are 17, 18, and they've got almost 100 appearances at that age. They're scoring goals, and you just think, wow, like the game is getting so much younger now. And for me, I mean, I love to see it. Everybody's talking about, oh, you know, you got to have experience, you got to have this. But I think everybody's realizing that the game's getting younger now, and they're relying heavily on the youth. And these guys, you know, that are 16, 17, 18 years old, the way they play and the maturity that they have at this age is incredible to see where the game is right now. And I think over the next number of years, you're going to start to see a lot of young superstars on the world stage. It's just the way the game is going right now.
It is. And you need, I mean, listen, once upon a time, Leo Messi was a 17-year-old phenom breaking through. And we're thinking, will this guy be the next big face? You know, at the time when Ronaldinho was saying farewell and Zidane was kind of saying farewell, and then these guys emerge. I don't know if we're going to have another era where we have a Messi and Ronaldo. We've been really fortunate, Dubs, and maybe we won't fully appreciate it until they both retire. Mm-hmm. And we look back in the last 15 years, 20 years maybe, 15 years for sure, of these two being not just the poster boys of world soccer, but the poster boys of world sport in that time, really. No one's more famous than Ronaldo. And that's just because he pushes his brand more than Messi. But those two, mm-hmm. I mean, we had Zidane and we had like Ronaldinho, that kind of era. Obviously, Pelé, Messi, but they didn't really... Sorry, Pelé and Maradona. Pelé and Maradona, there we go. But they didn't really... Their times didn't really jive, right? Because Pelé was towards the end of his career when Maradona was coming through. Just a bit, maybe 4 or 5 year overlap there.
Yeah.
And plus, that was an era before branding, social media, right? These two were the first monsters of their time, it's fair to say. But we don't need to have those two again, really, necessarily. We can have a Lamine Yamal and a Nico Williams and a Lennart Carl and whoever it's going to be. Arda Güler, yeah, and be quite fine.
Yeah, and I think we do see more variety in the types of players that are going to emerge. Like, you look at the difference even between Messi and Ronaldo. They're not the same beast at all, but they're equally as impressive. And what's most impressive to me is that it's been, you know, this battle for years for supremacy, for fans, for relevance, for, you know, who's occupying the most space in that, not even just soccer zeitgeist, but world zeitgeist, like who is on the tip of everybody's tongue, and the way that they've done it through their careers, that they've maintained that quality over the course of the years, changing clubs and trials and tribulations with their national teams. Even with Messi, where they won Copa America and you think that he is going to retire, and then he's back and they win the World Cup and you think, okay, that must be the swan song. And then yet here he is back again with Argentina as the defending champs in the 2026 World Cup, and back to Portugal. Like, there's going to be a lot to manage there. Like we're talking about Mbappe's ego. Well, there's no ego that's bigger than Ronaldo's. And will that be disruptive? Or, you know, you've seen a little bit of a redemption arc for him, to use that turn of phrase again, where he caused some problems in Qatar, right? And then now he seems to be more and more like a prominent figure and taking up his space or his place with that team. But how much will he factor in into this World Cup? He hopes it's a lot. It's a lot, but it might not be. And I just want to finish off with Spain. Like they are the bookmakers' favorite. They are everybody's team that's first on the list for who's the favorite, who's going to win this thing. I don't necessarily disagree, but Lamine Yamal might not play in the opening game. He's coming off a hamstring injury as well that he suffered in April. Rodri, who's so integral to the way that they play, he hasn't refound like his peak form. And even Nico Williams, not full fitness either. So like a lot of these players that need to be difference makers for them, they might not be able to rely upon heavily.
And for Spain, for example, I haven't got their schedule here, but the first two games, they're going to win them with or without Lamine Yamal. So why rush him back?
Yep.
Now there'll be pressure to play because he is a golden boy of that team right now. But if you're Luis de la Fuente, you've been around the block. You don't need to. You're European champions. You know what this kid can do. You don't need to rush him back. What a nice place to be. You mentioned Portugal. Like more and more I think about Portugal, I think, man, maybe this is their year.
Yeah.
They're such a good team.
Yeah, they are.
Ronaldo, okay, he's going to start when he wants to start. Okay. But Bruno Fernandes is coming off probably player of the year in the Premier League. Again, he's that good.
Probably. It, wasn't he player of the year? I thought he already
was he given it? He may have been given it, quite possibly.
I think he was, yeah.
He was,
yeah.
You're right, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. It was incredible. On a United team that had, you know, ups and downs, but then ended off really well.
Just want everyone to know, though, that's just how Sharms gaslights Wanger, right? Probably player of the year. And then I have to, I'm like, I'm feeling very gas. Yeah, I question myself. So I feel
it. Being that I can't remember anything either. So
That's true. It's quite possible.
If he wins it, he does get it, and then he deserves it. But yeah, Vitinha, João Neves from PSG, like that midfield, I don't know, there's a better central midfield partnership at the World Cup right now. João Felix on the left, Neto on the right. You got Diaz, Vega, I mean, Semedo on the right. They're an exciting team. Jimmy, do you think Portugal, are they better with Ronaldo at this point when he's approaching the big 6-0?
Talk about gaslighting.
Look, I mean, you're talking one of the best players in the world. Is he great for the national team? Yeah, he is. Look at the guy's incredible. Regardless of what you say, whether you like his personality or not, I think he's just one of those people, either you like him or you don't like him. There's no in between with this guy. He demands success. He demands to be the best, and he wants every player that plays on that Portugal team to be the best. And that's why they ended up winning the Euros. That's why they're always competing every single year, because of the standard that he brings. And I think with him in the side, yeah, I do, because the guy can change a game. The guy's almost 60, like you said, and he's still banging in goals left, right, and center. Go on.
I say it's amazing how there hasn't been anyone else beneath him who have grasped that job, though. Right. As he's got into his mid-30s and he's into his 40s, it's not as if there's been some young kid, a Ramos, for example, who's a really good player at PSG, scored a hat-trick last World Cup when Ronaldo didn't play. But he's a player that hasn't kind of said, well, listen, it should be my job. Right?
Those are big boots to fill.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, they really are. And look, I can imagine being a striker that's up and coming and I would be thinking to myself, I can't take this guy's job. This guy's the best in the world, and I'm going to get judged because of Ronaldo. That's been the number nine for the last 20 years, and now I got to come in. I got to take his boots. Imagine I'm going to get ridiculed. Everything that I do. Oh, you're not like Ronaldo. You're not like him. He scored and he does this, and it's a tough position. I'm telling you, for the next striker that's going to come in and take that number nine position, they're always going to get compared to him.
Hey, Wonga, do we have some questions?
We do. It's funny because I think Dubs and I put the same one in as I'm looking at it. There's a new commenter on our commentator on our YouTube, and it's USA or Sam 123. Thing about footy, it's a fickle beast. Anyone who has played a game above House League level has experienced the challenges. There are days where you can't buy a goal in games when your only two chances hit the back of the net. Same applies to scoring. You can have fought, and then in some game, boom, you bag three. England, mighty England, squeaked past New Zealand 1-0, while Haiti spanked them 4-0. We'll see how the next few weeks shake out. USA-er, not crazy about your immigration policies, but that was, right? It is a fickle beast, and you never know what the outcome is going to be, especially when these teams have all this travel in front of them. This changes. None of these teams are settled yet. So these first matches, you know, they've been sleeping in beds that are a mystery to them. Air conditioning, super hot. That's like
most professional footballers anytime, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, when you're at home, I'm sure. Oh, that's true. Dubs, regale us with some of your your stories.
Some of your sexual exploits as a professional footballer.
You've come to the wrong place.
That's what you said.
I didn't say in the wrong place. I said to the wrong place.
But let's talk about that fickleness, Dubs. It's quite. I'm covering up laughter right now with my chat, but was it the wrong place or the right place?
Am I this red or is it my filter? Because I don't think I'm having a heart attack.
You and Jimmy are on the same page.
It's the
It's the high blood pressure filter. High blood pressure filter that you guys put on.
That's right. You're less relevant now.
I'm actually dead. Like a photograph when the dead person in black and white.
Oh.
You look like you've been in the sun though, Charm. Have you been in the sun?
I have been.
You're the ghost of Christmas past. But I just want to say what Wonger just read, the Fickle Beast one. It was in response to quite a heated debate on our YouTube between JC and Chefman. And this was JC replying to Chefman. He said, absolutely agree on all those points. Laren hasn't scored or assisted in a meaningful match since World Cup qualification 4 years ago. We don't need to say anything more. So that fickle beast comment came out of a Laren debate about whether or not he deserves to have that starting role.
Yeah. Didn't he score in the Nations League? I'm sure he's scored a big game since qualification.
Yeah. I think you're
anyway,
right.
Anyway, even if he hasn't, it's not as if there's anyone else, a bit like the Ronaldo situation, it's not as if there's anyone else nipping at his heels saying, I must start games. Promised David, yesterday was talking, and he said, listen, my head says I can do 90 minutes. I'm not so sure about my body. And Tanny, well, O'Shea, another great. I'm going to stop saying great guys every time I mention Canadian footballers because they're all really great guys. But Tanny is another real thoughtful interview. But he isn't hardly prolific. He's not a goal scorer per se. He does a lot of work that perhaps most of us don't appreciate. But it's not as if he's scoring every time he hits the pitch and has, you know, 10 goals in La Liga this year. So I think in Kyle's, where Kyle stands, Jesse knows what he has in Kyle more than anyone else. He can trust him. He can go 90 minutes. And defensively, against a team like Jimmy, a team like Bosnia, who's going to be very, very direct and physical, you want a guy with Kyle's height in the box.
No, of course you do. For attacking, defending set pieces, we need height. So Kyle's he's a big boy, and you need him on set pieces, that's for sure. Definitely against Bosnia. Because you got to think as well, like, is Bosnia going to break us down? Are they going to... I don't think so, but I think they're going to, with their size, they're going to rely heavily on set pieces.
Yeah, which again, Canada has improved dramatically since Nico Gagnon arrived about a year ago, and they were really focusing on that. From what I saw this week, defensive set pieces, really focusing. So there are new rules, though, right? I haven't got time to get to the rules today, but maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do tomorrow. Yeah,
but one of the rules is. They will call you for being too physical in the box before the set piece is taken. So, you know, you see it in the Prem every week, you know, there's messing around in the box, you know, before the whistle's even blown to take the free kick or the corner. They're gonna be hard on that, which is interesting.
I don't know.
Charles, I got one more.
Before you jump into that, Kyle Aarons did score in 2024.
Thank you. Okay. Against you.
Thank you.
I can't find that on Canada Soccer Stats unless you do like a very specific.
Yeah, search. Good luck on that website.
But I know. It's difficult to navigate, but he has scored since World Cup qualification, just to be clear. So that commenter didn't have their facts right, but it has been 2 years since he scored for Canada.
I think the commenter is a meaningful match, though, since then. Okay. But anyway, it's semantics.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah.
Sharms, I'm going to defer to you because I think we're running into some time issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you don't try to pronounce Bosnia-Herzegovina again, I think we're okay.
So you want to get some footy picks?
Line mouth. Dubs.
JC, roll it.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
DJ Melody.
It's 40 picks. It's 40 picks. It's 40 picks.
On 40
prime. All right. You know what? We have, for the first time, we have some World Cup matches to talk about. As far as BetMGM's odds, Thursday it all kicks off, my friends. We have Mexico, South Africa, South Korea, and Czechia. By the way, there's a great little thing on FIFA.com if you want to do your bracket predictor, go through each game, decide who finishes where. I did that. Actually, Canada's playing South Korea in the round of 32.
Awesome.
My most recent bracket predictor, which will probably change next time I do it. But anyway, Mexico, South Africa. Mexico favorites at -235. South Africa underdogs +675.
Wow.
Whereas South Korea and Czechia pretty close there. +164 for South Korea, +175 for Czechia. So we've not much to choose between those two teams. Where shall we put our money? Mexico's going to beat South Africa, aren't they? At the Aztec at the kickoff of the World Cup.
Mexico.
Yeah.
And I just like South Korea. It's purely based on that. Right? We're big fans of Sonny.
Yeah.
Let's put some money on Sonny, shall we?
He's going to win the World Cup for the U.S.
He
Go
is.
Sonny.
Los Angeles right. Football Remember Club.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. But it's nice to talk about some games finally. We'll have a bit of a preview of those two games in tomorrow's show. But we're that close. With that close to all happening.
Yeah.
And hopefully today we'll find out a bit more about Moyes Bembido, whether he starts or not. We may have to wait till tomorrow's press conference. There's a press conference tomorrow, Thursday, 7:45 Eastern, is when Jesse Marsh will speak to the waiting masses for the final time before kickoff of the World Cup.
So everyone out there, you're listening to us on SiriusXM, but you may also be listening to us on our podcast platforms. So please download, find us everywhere. We're around. The other thing I want to do is I want our team to promote themselves, which they don't do. So Dubs, where can we find you in the next couple days, couple weeks?
Okay. Well, I'm in town because I was covering our women's national team. They had a very dominant victory over Costa Rica yesterday, only one match in his window. So good performance, good win. And then I will be on Sportsnet tonight with our very own James Charman and Faisal and Gregory Forresto doing a World Cup preview as well as a Canada preview for the tournament. And then I will be on CBC on match day June 12th. As like a reaction to Canada's game. And that morning I'll be on CTV morning. And then that night we'll be on Sportsnet again, I think with the same crew.
Yeah. Someone's popular. She's found a new way about herself.
Yeah.
Someone else did
what will she do next summer? What will she do next summer? The Women's World Cup. Anyway, Jimmy.
You can find me on Footy Prime.
Yeah.
Well, you not so fast, Jimmy.
Oh. Well, no, that was Mikey. Not so fast.
Quick, we've got 30 seconds.
You'll find me on TSN and also One Soccer.
Oh, yes. I'm
all right.
Yeah. And
so are you.
On One Soccer as well. I'll also be on Breakfast Television tomorrow morning. So tune in.
Amazing.
Between
I'm
7
on
and
Sportsnet
9.
Sportsnet throughout the World Cup. I'm on One Soccer towards the end of the World Cup, and I will be on Footy Prime throughout the World Cup and also CBC early Friday morning. Thanks, everyone. We are back tomorrow. Cheers very much for listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
And find Dan Wong and Jeff Cole at Earl's on King Street in Toronto.
That may or not make it.
Thriving. Remember a couple of days ago, we were a couple subscribers below 4,000. And in the last 2 days, we have 30 new subscribers. So welcome to Footy Prime, and more people like and follow and subscribe. Thank you.
That's super. Awesome.